Off we go again. Pre-season's done, and now we're on the cusp of a brand new Elite League season. A new look team, a new structure to the league, but it's the same challenge and the same prize we all crave. Welcome to the first edition proper of A View from the Bridge in the 2017-28 season. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got one hell of a show ahead for you. We've got an exclusive interview with the latest name on the roster, John Kurtz. And to assess his team, we'll also have Adam Keefe join us. No doubt he'll have a few things to say about this weekend, but so will we. And the first game proper is against Dundee this Saturday, so we'll call up our old friend Omar Pasha to talk to us about his new team and what they expect this season. We'll be looking around the league, and we'll also hear from you in the fan agenda. Now to start off, of course, Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
Not bad, Paddy. Just fresh in there from a little message I had to do, so ready to roll on a new season of A View from the Bridge, I guess.
That's a mystery. Are you going to tell us what the message was?
I was having a sports massage.
Ah, right, a sports massage.
That's after my run last night, my accidental run.
Your accidental 10-mile run? Unbelievable. Did you do an accidental 10-mile run last night, Sis?
I've got a break in there, Paddy. 12 miles.
12 miles? Sorry. Did you do an accidental 12-mile run last night, Sis?
I was child duties last night. Jasmine and I went for a walk around Victoria Park. But there was definitely no 12-mile run.
The 12-mile run in the car.
It's about 12 miles from Belfast, from where I'm living on Newton Ards, the Victoria Park, and then 12 miles back. So I did double what you did, David.
Right, let's get stuck in. Boys, the Belfast Giants took on the University of Manitoba Bisons at the weekend in the two pre-season games that they have this year. Mixed fortunes. We'll go through some of the stats. On Saturday, it was a 6-4 defeat for the Giants. The Giants' goals came from Galakis Silvestre, Darcy Murphy and Jim Vandermeer, but the Bison's goals, all six of them, came from Henrik, Bilton, Ogier, Laurensen, Sinquois, who's a player, by the way, Franco. Murphy faced 36 shots, and Spriggs, in the goal for the Manitoba Bison, also faced 36 shots. Bit rusty is today, Patrick, but let's get stuck in anyway. On Sunday, 7-6 victory in overtime for the Belfast Giants. The goals came from Shields, who scored two, Silvestre, Saviano, Furland, and Galakos, who scored two, including that overtime winner with 11 seconds to go in overtime. The Bison's goals came from Henry. He got two, including a last-minute equaliser to make it 6-6. Sinquois, who scored two himself, Callis and Laurensen. Murphy played 40 minutes and faced 20 shots. Dicko came in after two periods, played for 24 minutes, including overtime, and faced 21 shots. Dean Smith was the referee all weekend. The Giants didn't have Blair Riley this weekend, and Darcy Murphy didn't play on Sunday. But who was on the side were Adam Robinson and Stevie Eccles. They were in the lineup all weekend. Thoughts on those games, Davey? You know, it seemed that the Bisons came in with speed, skill. Did we underestimate them, or are we just not up to scratch?
I don't think underestimated them. You know, we've got to look at the factors, first of all. You know, as a team, or certainly as the players that we had available, probably only training together maybe 3 or 4 days on the ice and a few days off the ice after their summer breaks. And, you know, coming back in, the Bison have been together. There's players that are obviously really pushing hard for contracts elsewhere, and who knows, even in the Elite League. But they came with pace and against a team that have just said, you know, not underprepared, but their first game together as a unit. And, you know, we were quite open down the centre of the ice. I think there's a couple there that Stephen Murphy would like to have another go at. But, you know, that's ring rustiness, and it's always going to be hard for a goalie to be coming in and being stand on his head in the first pre-season friendly in, you know, your first or second period. So lots of positive things that come out of the game. I think the performance of Galakos was we've looked at these players who come in and with stats, and we've looked at videos and YouTube and stuff. But until you see these players in the flesh, you don't really know what you're going to get. He looks like he's going to be a real player for us. And, you know, I'm not going to be disappointed about results in a pre-season friendly, which is effectively what it was. And, you know, an exhibition game, we've came out of it fairly unscathed. And, okay, the naysayers will say that, you know, one of the lowest results in a Belfast Giants history, I read somewhere on Twitter. But, you know, you got to take these things with a pinch of salt. I'll be more concerned if we come out on the end of a performance like that against Dundee, but I don't believe it will. I think that there was enough positives for me to say that this team's going in a good direction.
One of the things that came out of that first game on Saturday was the fact that, you know, I would say it was a disappointing first and second period. And as Davey says, there were times when I looked at that team and thought to myself, they're being cut down the middle here, but there's a guy hitting the blue line at speed, and our D aren't really closing them down. But that sort of came into its own as the weekend came along. That third period on Saturday, the Giants came out with an edge that I haven't seen a Giants team play with in a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, just touching on the defensive side of things, you know, defense is the same as the forwards. The forwards want to build up that chemistry. It's the same as defensemen as well. So you've guys there, you've already touched on, Paddy. You only played 3 or 4 days together. Jimbo was playing with Kevin Rehan. Gulak, Goss, and Jarrett were paired together. And the only ones that have skated together before was Martinelli and Garside. So, you know, they've got to build that chemistry up. They've got to understand, you know, which side of the ice, they've got to occupy and talk to each other as well. It's pre-season. It's all about fitness and trying to get through it and preparing for the competitive games, which are upcoming very, very quickly this weekend. But, you know, I do agree with you with regards to, you know, they did come out flying. They really did come out flying. Their average age is 22. The majority of them, apart from three guys that brought in this year, everybody else has played 3 years together. So, you know, when you build up that amount of time together, you pick wee things up. All these guys are 22, 23, 24, and they're all busting the gut to be professional hockey players. So they were thoroughly impressed. You've touched on Saint Croix, absolute quality.
Oh, proper player,
Lauren Sell, number 13, was real quality as well. Adam Henry in the back end, and their goaltender, was it Spriggs on Saturday?
Spriggs, yeah.
He's really good. So it's one of those things where, you know, I talked to Kiefer after the game, and it's the first time they've faced North American opposition in a preseason for a long, long time. And, you know, you get a different game than what you do when you bring in, like, say, the DEL team or an Italian team or a French team over. You know, these kids are flying, the same as the NCAA. They're flying. They're just, you know, there's no second gear. They're just going straight into top gear from the very start. But overall, it was two really good games from us. The positive side of things, you know, some really good individual performances over the weekend. Gulak, Goss, you've touched on already. I think it was Davey. This kid's going to be, I think he's going to be one of the best defensemen in the league this year. He is absolutely unreal.
Excellent.
Very good skater. He's an absolute bullet of a shot. Sylvester's got the moves. He's probably this year's Christopher Higgins, a lot younger. He's only 23. You know, you've got a couple of big boys in the end, on the back end, sorry. And I'm really looking forward to the season starting. The pre-season games for me, you know, there's an Irish League player from years ago called Billy Caskey, and played a Glen Tour, and what a player. Davey will touch on it as well. Absolute legend. And according to him, there's no such thing as a friendly.
One of the things, Davey, Adam Robinson and Stevie Eccles are in the lineup, acquitted themselves well. How important was it that Kiefer brings in lads like this from that setup?
It's very, very difficult because those lads are two brilliant lads, and they've gone away to North America to try and to forge a career for themselves, or certainly put the first steps in a hockey career together. And, you know, we've talked at length about the under 23 situation, whether it be on the podcast or whether it's just in our little chit chats, and what value I believe, or you believe, that having those younger guys in the roster would be, and in regards to their development, would these players develop better at a, you know, going back to North America, and do they want to do that? Do they want to go through the school system there? You know, for me, if I could wind my clock back and be 18 or 19 and be offered a chance to go to the school for 4 years in the States and play hockey, you know, that akin to me being offered somewhere to go and play football for 4 years, I'd have bit your arm off it, thinking that even in 4 years, all I'm going to get out in America is 4 years, but I'm going to be able to come back and maybe play for Belfast Giants, Glen Torn, whatever, in 4 years for now. You know, that's a great option to have. I think if those guys came in here, they would be perhaps training full-time, having full-time jobs elsewhere, coming in for the greatest respect to them, bench warming for vast majorities of games, unless you're blowing a team out and you're getting two or three shifts maybe at the end of the game. Two quality guys. Stevie Eccles proved himself last year in a decent league. Good, he scored points. Adam Robson went to Meadford and scored a lot of points and played some really big games for them as well. I just don't know whether the development is there for them at the Belfast Giants at the minute, because the way the league is set up, and we've talked about this for years as well, the way the league's set up, the 2 points that you're going to, you know, play for against Dundee, not necessarily this weekend, the Challenge Cup, but against Dundee in, say, October, are every bit as important as the 2 points you're going to play for against Cardiff in April. You know, the league doesn't lend itself to give any development to players. The only time they're going to really get any ice time is in these perhaps early Challenge Cup games where you know you're going to run through that group anyway, hopefully. You know, that's very condescending, but statistics over the last 5-6 years, whatever we've been in that Scottish group, say it's very hard not to qualify for it. So don't really know, Paddy. It's a very good question. Sorry.
Don't worry, man. I think you, for not really knowing, you give a decent answer. The speaking of local guys as well, says, you know, Dicko came in that final period and in overtime, and even having to face, you know, a penalty kill in that overtime period as well, and acquitted himself very well.
I thought it was excellent. You know, I don't know if it was organised beforehand for him to get on, you know, for obviously for the last 20 minutes, or if it was just, you know, being 4-2 down and just wanted to give Murph a rest. But he came in, he did brilliantly well. I was lucky enough on Sunday, that I was ringside, you know, doing stuff instead of doing on the webcast, and had some really good positioning when he was basically pulling off those shots. There was one last 6 or 7 minutes of the third period, I was behind the net, and his positioning, he's obviously got a lot more confident over the last, 7 years that he's been in the lineup, you know, backing up Stephen Murphy for the majority of that time. And Dicko is really, really, really improved. And one of those things is it's a mentality side of things as well. It's not the matter of just going out there and stopping all those puck. Well, actually, it is. But he, you know, from the side of things, from the mentality side of things, he came out of the dressing room about 2 or 3 minutes before everybody else, and he stood against with his full pads on, full gear on, just getting his head into the game. And he was just, nobody talked to him. He was just standing there, ready to go. And as soon as he stepped back out on the ice for the third period, he pulled off a number of great saves. And obviously, you know, built the confidence from that as well for his teammates to go forward and score 4 third period goals and obviously get the winner in overtime as well. So real good performance by Dicko. Great to see. And it's brilliant to see him out in the ice every time he's on in Belfast anyway.
One of the things that we also learned at the weekend was the new setup for the captaincy. Blair Riley, Davy, being the first captain in quite a few years. Adam Keefe obviously holding the captaincy for, 4 or 5 seasons now. The Blair Riley succeeds him as captain of the Belfast Giants. The right choice?
A very, very good choice, yes. But what did we say the other day, says you're asking me for stats? What did we say, about 7 or 8 or 9 now?
He's captains. The ninth captain this year.
He's the ninth captain of the Belfast Giants, you know, and he joins a very select list of very successful guys that have gone before him, and they've all lifted silverware, thankfully, and they've all been very successful, as we have been as an organisation. You know, Blair came in last season, and we spoke to him, and we spoke to his old club, and what was expected of him, and he'd always been that hard-nosed player, and a bit like Kurtz is coming in, and maybe thinks that, you know, and I've talked about harder players coming in this league for many years, and they suddenly realise that there's a little bit more ice out there to play on. And I remember Blair Riley scoring a fantastic hat-trick past Brian Stewart, I think it was away in Coventry last year, and, you know, or maybe it was only 2 goals, I can't really remember, but he scored one from a ridiculous angle, you know. Yeah. He tried things, and he was tough. He had a bit of the Jeff Swayze about him, where he didn't need to fight, people didn't, you know, his reputation kind of preceded him, he didn't need to drop the gloves, because, you know, he had that swagger, he has that sort of, the way he carries himself, and yeah, I think he's obviously got the respect of his teammates, because this will not be a unilateral decision by the coach. You know, this will be a lot of buy-in from all the players and, you know, who they wanted to lead them this season, and obviously the 4 alternate captains as well. So that little team within a team there of real veteran leadership. And yeah, I think it's a really, really, look at him last year, one of the league all-stars, he one of the guys that led our team in scoring and points, and just a really all-round good hockey player, really, you know. can you call somebody like that the finished article? You know, he brings a bit of everything. He has size, he's goals, he's got assists, he knows when to be physical. And that's at times last season when we needed somebody to be the spark plug, because we didn't have the Daryl Lloyd from previous seasons. It was Blair O'Reilly going in behind the net and laying the big hit, sparking the crowd or sparking his teammates. And doing that doesn't necessarily mean you have to throw the gloves down and get wired into somebody. You know, you can do that with a change of momentum hitting. Blair O'Reilly has all those tools in the box.
And says, you know, we got Sheds, Ferland, Saviano and Jared all with A's on the shirts, some at home, some away, some both. I think it's because there are so many leaders on this team. One of the things I bring up in our interview we're about to hear with Kurtz is the fact that he's a former award winning captain as well. There are a lot of leaders on this side that has been put together by Adam Keefe, and maybe it makes that could it work both for and against? Could it be too many cooks?
No, I don't think so. You can never have enough experience, Paddy. The lineup this year, as I say, you know, Jonathan Ferland's played at the highest level. You've got Cole Jarrett. He's been around a long, long time. Don't forget, somebody with hasn't even got an A on his chest this year, and he doesn't need one, is Jim Van Der Meer.
Yeah.
You know, you have Stephen Murphy, who hasn't had one. Stephen Murphy's been around a long, long time as well. Mark Garside's not a rookie anymore. You know, so you've got all these
guys. Two-time rookie
of the
year, though.
But I just think that it's, you know, I think he made the right decision. Blair O'Reilly came in last year for us, was outstanding, MVP, voted by his peers, and you know, he was absolutely outstanding. He did exactly what we were told he would do when we spoke to the guy from North America last year, the Stockton Heat guy. Can't remember his name. When he came in and he did that interview with you, you know, he said exactly what you were going to get, and he might as well have told Blair O'Reilly himself. He was phenomenal last year. So congratulations to Blair O'Reilly. I know he's really looking forward to it and really looking forward to leading and obviously doing stuff around you know, the community as well, because we've been very, very lucky with captains over the years. You had obviously the last one, Adam Keefe. He stepped up to be the coach and off the ice in Belfast, there was nobody worked as hard from a player side of things in those 5 years that he was captain. Absolutely led by example. You know, if anybody, you know, Laura Small was always looking for volunteers to go and, you know, get something together, whether it was a school or whether it was a charity. And Kiefer was always, well, you know, that guy to basically step up. So it's great to see that Blair Reilly, as I say, has been named captain, and wish him all the success.
You mentioned there that he was voted MVP by his peers, and I'm delighted to announce that he was also, Davey, voted as the Kingdom of the Giants most valuable player for last season.
Well, there you go. That's Paddy's made an announcement there. Very good. I didn't know the outcome of the vote. You kept that a closely guarded secret, but
it was pretty clear.
Look at the guys he was up against, and look at the guys that have came before him and have won that trophy. Look, I'm not going to try and make Kingdom of the Giants out to be something special, but an award that is voted for by the fans is always special for a player. You know, to get like a player's player of the year to be voted for by your peers is a really special award. But to get the fans on your side and for them to recognise the contribution that you've made over the last 12 months and Blair O'Reilly, it's hard to argue. You look at the stats, you know, you had Higgy and Blair O'Reilly up at the top of the scoring charts. You had Colin Shields having a fantastic year. I think it was 56 points. I was looking at the stats earlier today there, you know, and you had on the back end some great performance and the goaltending trio as well. So many standout performances last year, because let's not try and rewrite history. Yes, we haven't been successful in regards to lifting silverware and raising banners over the last number of years, but we have came very, very close. You know, little things that need change and might, you know, that switch might get flicked this season and that just takes you over the line. Like, we were only a handful of points away from winning championships and cups and you know, you can go back and say, oh, it's a disgrace, we haven't won everything for a couple of seasons, but we have came close, and I believe that progression curve is an upwards trend that we're still on. And, you know, Blair O'Reilly has gone from being an MVP amongst his peers and amongst the fans to being the captain of the club now. So it's a really well-deserved reward. We'll get that to him as soon as possible. Take it, we need to speak to Marty McAllister and get the wee man on the Lisburn Road getting it etched. But, you know, we'll get that award to him and get it presented soon, because, as you said, it started off as a T-shirt, whatever it was, 17 years ago now, and it's been awarded right through the years. And it is something that I think the guy himself will be well pleased to have won.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll get that to him as soon as possible. Right, let's move on. One more piece of the puzzle was added on Wednesday night with the arrival of 28-year-old left-winger John Kurtz. This won't be the first time he's been coached by O'Keefe, having spent some time at the Toronto Marlies under the stewardship of Adam's brother, Sheldon. And I got a chance to speak with him earlier today. Delighted to be joined by the latest signing for the Belfast Giants, John Kurtz. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, you know, you're the final piece of the puzzle in Adam Keefe's side for the forthcoming season. How did this signing come about? How did you find out about the Giants? How do you come to be the latest name on the Giants roster?
Well, Adam reached out to me some time ago, so we've been having some conversations for the better part of 2 months, and finally everything kind of came together. Not as quickly as both of us would have liked, but eventually it got done, and I'm happy to be part of Belfast and very excited to make the trip over there.
You're a guy who's been playing in the AHL for quite a few seasons now. You had a bit of a season last season with Syracuse and also Norfolk in the Coast League, but also in there, it's worth pointing out that this won't be the first Keefe brother you'll play for.
No, I played for his brother in Toronto, so I'm a little familiar with the family, and I know his brother knows hockey very well, and I expect the exact same out of Adam. So excited to play for him.
You put your name into Google, and a lot of things pop up. Not least the fact that you're a bit handy when it comes to standing toe to toe with the finest in the AHL. But there must be more to your game than that. Give us an indication of what your game is and who you are.
My game is kind of a well rounded game. When I broke into the American League, I wasn't a drafted player or a highly touted prospect, for an NHL team. So I kind of had to find a way or find a niche to kind of stay at the highest level possible and kind of keep grinding my way up and try and make it to the NHL. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But, just started dropping the gloves, and it started leading to a little bit more ice time and a bit more opportunity. And sure enough, I did okay at it. And it was kind of expecting me as the years went on. And then towards the last couple of years playing in North America, put a lot of time and effort into, expanding my game, expanding my role, playing with the puck, putting pucks in the net and stuff like that. But, penalty killing and getting up and down the ice has been a big part of my game since I was a kid, and it's something I definitely take pride in as well.
What's it like in the AHL? You talk about that battle, you talk about that sort of that want to get into the NHL, but obviously there's also the other side of it where you're trying to keep your position in the AHL. What's that battle like when you're at a team in the AHL?
It's very stressful because your job's never safe. There's always somebody trying to take your job, trying to take you out of the lineup, just as you are trying to take the person ahead of you's job. So, it can take a toll on you mentally and physically sometimes as well. So, it'll be a little bit refreshing coming over and playing in Belfast with not having to worry about, moving up or moving down or just getting a phone call and getting sent down and stuff like that. So, that'll put my mind at ease a little bit and I'm sure it'll help me on the ice as well.
I think you're coming into this Giants team which is full of leaders, but you're a leader yourself. You've captained teams. In fact, you've won the Mickey Renault Captain's Trophy in the OHL. For those that don't know, it goes to one of the top captains in the Ontario Hockey League. That must have been a great achievement for yourself.
Absolutely, that was probably the biggest achievement I've received to date in hockey. I played with Mickey, who the award's named after, and he was a terrific person and captain, and I kind of learned from him over the course of a couple of years and tried to, replicate his leadership on and off the ice and stuff like that. So it's something I take great pride in, and, I'm sure I'll be able to chip in that department in Belfast as well.
You've played with and against a lot of names that more or less are in the Elite League now. What do you know of the Elite League? What are you expecting when you come over?
I'm not too sure, but I do know a lot of players who are over there playing now. I've heard a lot of good things. I've heard the hockey is, it keeps getting better and better every year, and it's very up and coming. I've seen a lot of videos of the fans, especially in Belfast and other cities. So it's very it looks like a very exciting place to play, and you know, it's going to be a good journey for myself. And I've said it before, and I'm excited to be over there.
How did, out of interest, how did Adam Keefe and Steve Thornton, how did they sell Belfast to you? What was the clincher?
The clincher, you know, I think it was a lot of things, not just, you know, them specifically. Just, you know, when you ask around about guys who've played over there, or know guys who played over there, they say Belfast, you know, that's the place you want to be. I've heard nothing but, you know, about just being a first class organization. They take care of their players. Great town, great fans. I haven't heard a bad thing yet, and I don't expect to. So it wasn't just them specifically. They did have a big part in it. But I haven't heard a bad thing about Belfast. So it's a decision.
Like I say, you've had guys over here like Jay Rosehill, Eric Nielsen, all guys you've either played with or against. It seems to be a lot of guys, especially, let's say, with all due respect, with your skill set in the AHL, you're probably going to get more ice time coming over to play in the Elite League, but these guys seem to be migrating this way, and it's a great opportunity for you to sort of maybe spread out a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. I look at a player like Blair Riley, a guy I played with or played against in the American League for some years. He's, you know, a phenomenal hockey player. He might not have had the chance he deserved in North America to put up, mm-hmm. you know, numbers like he did last year. So he's the kind of guy that, you know, I'd say we're cut from the same cloth, can help out offensively, but, you know, we're not scared to stand up for a teammate or, you know, take care of yourself when it comes to that as well.
So just lastly, how's your preparation going over the summer? I know that, you know, it's, you guys should maybe try to take a bit of time off, catch up with other things. Are you a baseball fan?
A lot of guys do take time off. I didn't really have that much of an opportunity this year. I was with Syracuse till end of June.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a kind of guy, I don't really like being left behind in the gym or losing an edge to somebody. So I kind of got right back into it just to make sure I'm ready for the next season. Baseball, I am a Jays fan, Toronto Blue Jays. but they're not having a great year, unfortunately. So I kind
not
of
as good as last.
No. So no playoffs this year.
Fantastic. Well, listen, I know it's going to be a week or two before we see you in Belfast, but we're looking forward to having you all. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, Patty.
Thanks to John for his time. So another piece added to the puzzle for the forthcoming season. And we wonder if the coach has got his team complete and is ready to take on the forthcoming Elite League Challenge. So let's ask him. Adam Keefe joins us on the line now. Welcome back to the show, coach.
Hi, Keith. Thanks for having me.
It's a bit different to call you coach now, but we'll get used to it. What we've just heard from John Kurtz there, from your side of things, what does he bring to the side?
Well, it brings complete level, you know, and that is definitely something that I set out to bring in, and to make sure that we have a team that competes day in and day out, competitively throughout the entire season, not just, a game here or there. You know, we need guys that are going to compete weekend by weekend, and he's just another guy that does exactly that. You know, he's also going to bring some physicality to our lineup and also some more toughness to the lineup. He's a player that my brother had with Toronto, and my brother spoke highly of him and his compete level and work ethic and the type of shape that he's in and type of person and teammate that he is. So definitely I take those and I value that opinion. And just from speaking with John, you know, I know that he decided now to get over, obviously, being late into the summer. I think he's ready to get going and excited to get here and be part of the Belfast Giants.
One of the things he says in his interview when we asked him about, you know, obviously his role in the AHL was, well, a role you know very well with regards to ice time and what he brought. Obviously, coming into the Elite League, he's going to get a little bit more ice time. He's going to be able to spread his wings a little bit more. And he cites Blair Riley as maybe being an inspiration to that. Blair Riley making that switch to the Belfast Giants and playing a wider role, a more scoring role, a more free-flowing role, and finding a side of his game that maybe he wasn't able to push forward in the AHL. Is that the sort of thing you're expecting from Kurtz?
Yeah, well, certainly. If he has the type of year that Blair Riley had last year, yes, we certainly welcome that. You know, he is going to get an opportunity to contribute offensively with our team and he's going to certainly get more ice time that will allow him to do so. When I came over here from the American League, I was in a similar position and to come here now. It was a little different 6 years ago when we only had pretty much three lines and 11 imports, I think it was. There was plenty of ice time to go around back then, so it is certainly a bit different in terms of numbers and the league and the caliber of the league these days. But he still can get that as counted on to take on a bigger role than he would be used to. And I'm sure that from my own experiences and from watching firsthand how Blair Riley did after his career in the American League, I certainly know that John Kurtz will be happy to be here and he'll be happy to be the Belfast Giants and taking on a bigger role within a team and just ultimately helping the team any way that he can.
Kiefer, the weekend obviously against Manitoba. What's your assessment over those two games and then looking forward to this weekend, obviously preparing for your first competitive game against Dundee?
Yeah, the weekend it didn't start off great, but there was some positives out of that first game that we took out of Saturday night, and the one positive that I liked was obviously there were some individual guys that really sparked some interest and definitely impressed on the night, but it was more so the team effort in the third period that impressed me, and that was the positive that we took out of that game was the third period. I believe we were down by three goals, I think. We came back and brought it to within one, within a shot, really, of tying that game up at the end of the game. If the one shot doesn't get blocked and go down for an empty net goal, maybe we're pressing for the last 45 seconds and tie it up. So I was certainly happy with the guys' answer in the third period. I understand that it is early. We were only practicing really as a team, as that team, for 4 days prior to that game. I think that, it showed in the game. The guys were making some mental errors and individual mistakes that likely, hopefully, don't happen too often in the season. And I think, we corrected a lot of those going into Sunday and put forth a much better effort, although we still allowed we allowed too many goals against on Sunday as well. But I think that that's what we've been working on this week is, sorting things out and better communication from myself and better communication from the players and to know each other better on the edge. And basically, just all-around communication and make sure that everybody's on the same page going into this weekend against Dundee.
Coach, you've had sort of, I suppose, just over 4 months now of recruiting your team, and you've taken your time and bringing in Kurtz this week, just, coming up, leading up. Have you been sort of looking at the way other teams have been building as you're building your own roster? Sheffield usually do their business very early in the window, if you like, and Giants often wait until closer to the business time to finish the team off. Have you been looking at other teams, or is this going to be Adam Keefe's team, Belfast Giants, and we're coming with our own agenda? This is what we're building. We're not worried about anybody else.
We've certainly kept an eye on teams around the league, certainly the approach has been to build a team that competes hard and it's going to make it tough to play inside the SSC arena. And gone are the days that I think teams come in and they're real comfortable to play in Belfast, and it's a great city. We treat them well. The arena's nice and nice and cozy for teams to come in, and players enjoy playing here. And I think that we need to make it a little bit harder on them to come in and want to play in Belfast. So I think that's the team that we've put together. That a nice combination of veteran leadership with youth energy and guys that all compete hard, and some guys that are under your skin, and some guys that are willing to stick up for their teammates. And I think that we have a little bit of everything. And as you've seen on the weekend, we have some guys that are extremely talented as well. So, you know, I think that we're sitting pretty with in terms of different roles that have fit in nicely. And now it's about ultimately me getting everyone to buy in and get on the same page and get them working well and gelling well together and get the ball rolling here and going into the season, and certainly sooner than later.
Adam, last for me here, there's obviously this is your first season at least 17 years, I think it is, that you've actually not prepared for the playing side of things. How have you dealt with that? And have you really sussed out the transformation from player to coach over obviously missing this preseason?
Yeah, I think it was something that when I started out this summer, I certainly thought that I would keep myself in a lot better shape and keep the player schedule where he's going to the gym every day and coming home, and you know, then I could do my coaching work at home. But you know, I learned pretty quickly that you can get lost in your time, and you know, I think that it's still something I'm struggling with is time management and prioritizing the right things. And because like I said before, gone are the days that I go to the gym and come home and have a couple hour nap and watch my TV shows. You know, now it's pretty much full on from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed that there's something going on. I need to get something done, or I'm constantly trying to better myself as a coach, and basically leave no stone unturned in terms of me better preparing the team and myself. I recognize that I'm a rookie coach, and there's a lot to be learned, and definitely wanting to compete this season too. You know, not accepting the fact that I'm a rookie coach or we have 10 new players. You know, that's not an excuse or a reason to not expect anything less than success this season. So that's certainly been the biggest adjustment is the time management and getting used to full day long work, I suppose.
Dundee this weekend, coach. First game proper in this Challenge Cup Group B. What are you expecting from Dundee? I know they've got a few imports to bring in, but those trips to the DIA are always tough.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that all the teams are shaping up pretty nicely, and I expect Dundee to be no different. It's never easy to play in their arena, and the fans bring some atmosphere, and you know, they usually end up recruiting a hardworking team that makes it difficult to play in their building. And you know, if you give them chances, they can certainly to bury on you and make you pay. So we're going to have to certainly tighten up defensively and look to bring the pace to them and play our game. I think that's the message going into the weekend is bring our compete level, make them match our compete, and not the other way around.
Well, it all starts this weekend. Coach, best of luck to you, and hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
All right, cheers, guys.
Right, thanks again to Kiefer. Around the league, let's have a look at a few of the pre-season results last weekend. The Clan and Lone Frankfurt exchange wins 5-4 to the Clan on Saturday. But the N2 Cup game on the Sunday, the Clan lost their own tournament for the second year in succession. Frankfurt taking a 4-1 win to lift the most coveted prize in pre-season. Over in Kirkcaldy, another German team, the Castle Huskies, also exchanged wins with the Flyers. Fife taking a 4-3 in overtime on Saturday, and then Kessel exacting revenge 2-1 in overtime the following night. This seems to be the way of things in pre-season, because the games between Sheffield and Manchester and the games between Milton Keynes and Coventry, well, all four teams won at home. All those fixtures were split. Looking at the CHL, the Devils are yet to pick up a win. They were absolutely ruined 10-1 by Davos in Switzerland before going on to lose 5-4 to Liberec in the Czech Republic. The Panthers were able to pick up a win against their Czech side in Mountfield after they also lost in Switzerland to SC Bern. This weekend, we'll see the Panthers' return fixture against Mountfield be broadcast live on new free-to-air channel Free Sports, a subsidiary of Premier Sports, which will also have the NHL on it. No doubt Neil Black will be over the moon with this, despite not publicising the coverage of their elite league, of their game against Mountfield. Black's been a long-time champion of elite league hockey on free-to-air TV, so here's a wonderful chance for that. No doubt they'll be very forthcoming. We'll certainly be getting our good friend Aaron Murphy on soon to talk about the new channel and all it entails. There's actually also been quite a bit of action over the summer, but rather than talk through all of it, let's pick up on some of the talking points of the off-season. We'll go one each. We'll start off with you, Mr. Kitchen. What has been the story of the last few months?
The Edinburgh Capitals.
Ah, right.
I've literally looked, I've kept an eye on since they named Dmitry Kristich the coach, NHL experience, and you always knew that they picked up a lot of Eastern Europeans, and this year I'm going to have a bloody nightmare trying to pronounce some of these names. And there's Konstantin Teslukovic. And then tracking off, and you've got the guy from last year, Vrabi. My God, it's probably going to be just number 17's passed to number 43 and 26 is slaughtered at home.
Yeah, you've got like Harry Ferguson and Callum Boyd. You'll be all right.
I get a lot of youngsters there as well. I mean, they played against the Manitoba Bisons last night, lost 2-1. But they had 16-year-old scored a goal. We Callie Robinson, Ian.
Yeah.
Robinson used to play for Fife and Paisley and been around the block a few times. His two sons are playing for Edinburgh this year. And apparently young Callie scored an absolute wonder goal last night. So it's they've got a lot younger with regards to their UK-based players. But I think they might be a real surprise this year. I really do. If they can keep everybody together. I mean, even just looking at their lineup now of guys who are playing, hopefully playing this weekend, they've got, according to their Twitter, they've got four of the imports coming in either today or tomorrow to play this weekend. So Edinburgh Capitals, for me, I think they could be a real surprise package this year.
Funny, Vorobyev gave an interview to a Russian media outlet where he hinted at Russian investment in the club. Now, that was roundly poo-pooed by Scotty Neal. But it is interesting to side to have. And also, they've got Adam Stephenson's brother Taylor Stephenson come in as well. Davey, it's an interesting prospect, the fact that the Edinburgh Capitals have been, with all due respect to them, they've been down and out with regards to elite league competition for more or less the entirety of their time within the league. Is this the lineup that could possibly see them turn it around?
It's hard to know, Paddy. They've had a few false dawns. There's been the green shoots of recovery there a few times. They've recruited well a number of times in the period of the Elite League, and for one reason or another, imports have drifted away or dropped off completely. And come Christmas, once they're out of the playoffs, it's people are leaving. And the other season there, when who all left? Hayes left, Rutherford left. Mm-hmm. And other teams end up picking up their spare imports. And just, the poo-pooing of the investment from Scotty Neal. Scotty Neal needs help. He needs sponsors. He needs investment. Scotty Neal has been amazing for that club. Let's not say anything about the guy bad. He has kept the Edinburgh Capitals in Edinburgh when lesser people would have let the club go to the wall. And, so let's not underdo his. But, the club needs investment. The fans need a team. How hard must it be as a fan? You go into every season as a sports fan hoping that you're going to win something, but those guys are going in not even hoping that they can compete. Is it, for Edinburgh, is it just trying to finish eighth and get into a quarterfinal playoffs and somehow hope you can get through to Final Four? It must be difficult as a fan. We're setting ourselves up at Belfast here, imagining that come April, we're going to have won the league, we're going to be in the Challenge Cup final, and we're going to the playoffs. That's, that's the kind of minimum that we expect. The minimum for a Edinburgh fan is a awful lot less. And you kind of feel for guys because they're paying the same price for their ticket as everybody else and deserve a bit more. But as Simon says, they have built a pretty strong-looking European roster there. And we know ourselves, the Europeans are no mugs. The teams don't have to be fully North American based anymore to be good. And you just seen the rise of KHL over the last number of years. It's a very, very strong league as well. So you know, Russians are not have always been really, really good hockey players, and you know, Edinburgh seem to have recruited a few there that could open a few eyes.
It's very interesting. Right, I'll go next with my talking point from the off season. I guess it's one that everybody's more or less used to now, but I think it's the rejigging of the conference system, and the naming of the conference system, which I'm going to come to you about, Davey, because we spoke about it, or you brought it up last season with regards to the name of the playoff trophy. But with Belfast, Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham being shoved into one, you've got the Scottish conference, and then you've got, you know, MK, Guildford, Manchester, and Coventry. Well, it seems that a lot of people focusing on that conference system, and especially our own, and the battle that's going to take place, and where people are going to end up, and it is going to be a real battle. Obviously, we have the names. We've got the Erhard Conference for the one that we're in with Sheffield, Nottingham, and Cardiff. You've got the Gardner Conference remains with the Scottish teams, and the one with Manchester, Coventry, MK, and Guildford is the Patton Conference, David.
Yeah, well, it's always very nice for a nod to the history of the game. And you've got that in all three conference names. I still would have liked the Patton name to have been used for the playoff trophy, as it was originally called, the Patton Trophy. But yeah, it's a really nice nod to the history. I seen an email, I don't know whether I was supposed to say it or not, but with the options for the names that were mooted out there, and all of them would have been excellent recipients and excellent names, guys that have done a lot for the sport over the 100 years or so that it's been.
The Kitchen Conference, the Majimski Conference.
There was actually the Russell Conference. There was one called the Davy Conference, but that's that was very, very close to being out there, but different Davy. But yeah, it's nice, as I say, to see the nod, you know, one for, you know, sentimentality, and that the Patton name lives on in hockey. As I say, it would have been nice if it had went back to the trophy and that it went something else for the conference. But I'm glad that the AVFTB again has been listened to by the powers that be.
And what about yourself, Davey? What was your what's been the big talking point of the off season for you?
Oh, I think without doubt the man formerly of this parish. You know, we had to rename our WhatsApp group, the AVFTB is back. Sorry, Simon, but the rumours are on true that he's coming back on board to the podcast. But Neil the coach, or Neil the GM Russell, is now, I don't know what's he going to be called, but he's now Neil Russell again. left the hockey pantheon behind after dipping his foot in for a couple of seasons. You know, we built him up here, Paddy. We took him from his bedroom to the boardroom, and I think he owes us.
He has. He's taken up a job with Manchester City, crossing Manchester from Altrincham to the Etihad, and it's quite the opportunity for him, I have to say. I will say that sources within Manchester City tell me that he turned up to the interview in, and I quote, a very sharp suit that I also quote, was very expensive. Now, I'm not surprised at that. This is a man who has a 54 grand jacket from Harrods. You know what I mean? And he always tells you about it. But he is it's a hell of an opportunity for him, says. And but with regards to the work that he'd done at the Storm, with all due respect, he actually did it, and all the crap that we give him regards to working, you know, 12 days a week, he put a lot of effort in there, and it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, you can't knock the job he did in Manchester with obviously, you know, Pasha, and we all knew that he worked hard and drank 15 million gallons of Dad Coke every single day. But, you know, the job that he did, you've got to put your hands together for him, because he did a great job over there. You had, you know, there's an awful lot of work starting a franchise from zero in, what was it, 8 weeks or something like that, to basically put it together to get them on the ice, played two seasons. You know, he had success during the two seasons as well on the ice. I thought, you know, man, the lineup they had last year was pretty good. And you know, Pash, obviously we went to, the Giants went to Manchester on numerous occasions, and we always had a tough task, and some really good players as well. But, you know, onwards and upwards for the big man, and wishing him the best luck when he gets to Manchester City, apart from when they're playing Spurs on the 16th of December.
It was quite interesting seeing all the response. The Manchester Storm fans were gutted. I think it crashed the actual website when the news came out that he was moving to Manchester City. But also there was quite a bit of confusion as to what his role would be. I saw a few notes, a few messages sent to him on Facebook and Twitter, the likes, thinking that he was basically going to be Pep Guardiola's boss. One guy saying, you know, if you're going to if you're moving to Man City and you're involved with players, it's going to be a lot tougher than it is in elite league ice hockey. It's a bit of a misunderstanding. He's not going to be involved directly with players. We will get him on in the next few weeks to talk about his move and his what he remembers from Manchester. But Davey, a bit of a note from yourself on him. I know we built him up and took him from the bedroom to the boardroom, but he's done a good job.
I'm stunned. I like the segue there about this sharpshooter. I really have to get some tips off him on interview techniques, because he must be able to sell himself like none else, because like he knows nothing about hockey and he knows even less about football. So like, I don't know what on earth he's going to be doing at Man City, but you know, best of luck to you, coach, and I mean that genuinely. But I look forward to seeing him working for Barcelona or something next year.
Fantastic. That's the code that we live by.
Yeah, I'm in this venue, terror. Hi, this is Kevin Rain, number 22 of the Belfast Giants, and you're listening to A View from the Bridge. I'm in this
venue, terror. Giants kicking the action with the first game of Challenge Cup Group B this weekend against the Dundee Stars. Now, over the summer, Mark Lefebvre swapped the East Coast of Scotland for the East Coast Hockey League. The Wards were quick to move, however, and swiftly picked up the services of our next guest. He swaps the River Irwell for the River Tay to take on a new challenge at the DIA. I'm delighted to welcome back to this show our good friend, Mr. Omar Pasha. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Fuck, Paddy.
Yeah, I am grand, mate. Well, you know, Manchester's a lesser place without you here, but we're surviving.
Exactly. Oh, I'm glad to see you're a poet now, so that's good.
Listen, before we talk about your current position, I meant to say head coach and general manager. We'll get to that in a second. But before we talk about that, let's look back about the move and about your time in Manchester. Two seasons with the Manchester Storm. Obviously, the first one was a bit haphazard trying to get that team together. You had a chance to develop into the second. When you look into those two seasons, what are your thoughts? What are your memories? And anything you would change?
I think that first season, you know, I've said it before, I think it was a bit too early to come in the league. I think you need a bit more time to prepare from everything from the off ice to the on ice, but we were in a situation where we had to, you know, move quickly and to come in the league. So I think that was probably the biggest challenge I've had so far as a coach is that first season of getting the players in and you know, working with a group that was basically recruited in a very short notice, a short period of time. Well, second season, I think we improved dramatically from off the ice to on the ice. We added experience, we added leadership, we added some different aspects to our team that was, you know, better than that first year. So it was good. I mean, we made the playoffs. I think we were heading in the right direction. I think, you know, we put a lot of effort and work into the team. Because of injuries and whatnot, I think we probably finished a bit higher in the table, but we managed to make the playoffs. I think we had a good round against Cardiff, came pretty close, and that was it for season two. And, you know, the Storm, we got sold over the summer to new owners and Finner. So at the same time, I could only wish them the best, and for me, I think it was a blessing in disguise coming to Dundee after as a dual role, just to obviously, you know, to improve on my career on and off the ice as well. And the business side was always something that interested me from my days in Manchester, because I was involved on a daily basis with Neil, so you know, I got to learn a lot, and I got to, you know, actually do a lot. So I felt it was probably the best step forward for my career.
Yeah, when the Manchester Storm bring in new management, and of course they unfortunately thought that your service is no longer required, that time between you found that out and picking up the job with the Dundee Stars, well, what are you doing in that period? Are you actively looking for another job? Are you considering your options with your career?
Well, at the time, I mean, I think I found out the beginning of May that Shiner was involved, and, you know, I thought that was probably going to happen where we would move on in separate ways. So I completely understood. It was tough to swallow at first, but again, that's life. That's the business of the sport. I mean, there's no hard feelings anywhere. I enjoy my time in Manchester. But at that time, yeah, I was probably looking more to stay back home. I got a few jobs, offers from probably mostly outside of hockey to, you know, I completed my master's and not, and I was working in the banking industry and sales, and also I had an opportunity to be an assistant coach back home in Quebec. But when the Dundee opportunity came in, I think it was fact that I could be a general manager and a head coach, and that could help me, you know, in my career in the future and stay within the game. I obviously was going to stay in the game, whether it be coaching overseas or coaching back home, but the fact that I can get into the business side of things as well and learn a bit more and be proactive and do a lot more and obviously staying as a coach, I thought that was a good combination for myself.
Yeah, you mentioned like making that move to Dundee and decision to be head coach and general manager. And as I look at your roster, I see that number two in the D Corps is Riley Stadell, not Omar Pasha. How difficult was the decision to hang up those skates?
Well, technically, there's a mistake, Patty. Riley Stadell is supposed to be number three.
Oh, right. Okay.
This year. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, well, that means I'm done. But no, for me, as I said it before, I think it was the right time in my career to move on. And player coach is always a difficult role, especially when you're probably in an organization that does not have as many people working in the background. So that makes sense, you know. So you have to do a lot more than actually just play and coach. You got to take care of a lot of the operation side of things and other aspects of the business. So, as I said, it was the best move for my career. It would be difficult. As of now, I'm more focused on the success of the team. But, yeah, I'm not going to lie, probably some games I wish I could play. But, again, it's what's best for my career, and it's also, I think, what's best for the Denton Stars as well.
Let's look at that side that you've got. Let's look at the side you've got for this season. It's, you know, some names there we'll recognise, like Travis Fullerton in goal, Craig Holland, obviously. You know, you've got Chris Lawrence coming in. Obviously, guys from last season in Manchester, in the likes of Adam Harding and Taylor Dicken. You know, but give us an insight to that side. You know, Jordan Kearney, we'd know. These are all known quantities. But when you look at the side you've got, what do you think that other teams should be looking out for?
Well, when Mark recruited some of the guys, to be fair, there's a few guys that I just didn't do a scouting report on it. I never really knew about them. So when Mark decided to move on, we had a great chat, and Mark's done great things here in Dundee. And I had the opportunity to scout these guys after every single guy Mark recruited. Obviously, Terry Dickin and Adam Harding, I'm familiar with them with my time in Manchester. But the other guys, and I think we had a great chat with Steve and Mike, saying that we wanted to keep the guys that were signed up, and I felt that all the guys had a place on this team, even with my philosophy, and Mark had great praises for a few guys, and as I can see in camp, he was right on a few. I mean, there's guys that Mark recruited that are impressing me, and obviously the guys I picked up in the latter part of the summer are having a good camp as well. So for me, it's fun to get a group like this because they're young, they're hungry, and they're fast. And I think, as I said it before, our work ethic has to be the number one in the league. We have to be the highest team every single night, and that's our ethos. And moving forward, you know, working with this group, that's something we're going to focus on. And throughout the season, obviously, it's a process. So we hope to get better on a weekly basis.
Of course, now you're in, with the change up to the Challenge Cup groups to change up to the league conferences. You're in that conference with Brayhead, Edinburgh, Fife. You're in the cup group with Edinburgh, Fife, and ourselves, and the Belfast Giants. You, when you look at the season overall, what aims do you have? What aims do the Dundee Stars have?
Well, for now, first off, it's going to be important to get all our guys in. We're still missing key components. But for me, it's improving on a weekly basis. It's trying to give, every single weekend a chance for us to win. And if we do that, I'm confident we'll be in that top eight. And it's going to be a hard season for every single team. I think the 12 teams improved. The 10 teams that were in our league improved, and the two new teams, the Melton teams and the Oakville, are going to be very competitive even from the first week, the first year in the league. So for us, it's going to be a challenge every night, but at the same time, it's going to be a challenge for every single team because there's no gimme games anymore. We saw that in the past, in the last 2 years in the league. And since I've been in the league, this is going to be my fifth season as a, in the league itself, when I was a player and a coach, and every single year the league has improved. And, you see every year results that you probably didn't expect. So our aim is, again, to every single night to bring it, to give our 100%, to work ethic has to be, the number one priority. And throughout the year, we'll develop as a team, and we'll get better, and we'll improve here in the next few weeks. And I think we'll be fine.
One more question to ask you, probably just hearkening back to your Manchester Storm days. Obviously, in the last week or so, we learned that you weren't the only departure from the Manchester Storm, that our good friend, Mr. Russell, departed also to take up a job with Manchester City. Now you've got your, you've taken on that GM role now up in Dundee, but give us an insight to your relationship with Neil, the coach Russell, and what do you think the Manchester Storm are losing with him moving on?
Listen, I have the utmost respect for Neil. I mean, he's the only guy that works more hours than there in the day. No, but honestly, he's been working with him was something great for me. I mean, working under him and Mark Johnson for the last 2 years, but him on an hourly base, I got to learn a lot. I got to improve with his help. I mean, I thought we worked well together. I think that first year there were aspects of how he saw the club that he wanted to improve, and I respected that. And he set high standards, and I think I was ready to buy in into his philosophy, and we really worked well together and everything. I mean, there are games where I know he was upset, I was upset, but we would have those talks. The main reason why we had those hard talks is because we really, really wanted to make this work. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to see the Manchester Storm work. And, I've learned a lot. I keep in touch with him, almost every day, just to ask him, for some advice or whatnot. So, it's sad to see him go, to be fair. He was the only guy that was probably in our organization from day one. But I'm sure the new ownership, will hopefully find somebody that's going to work as hard as him and as passionate, because I think the thing is that his passion is second to none, his work ethic is second to none, and his vision for the club was tremendous. So, but at the same time, now I'm privileged to work with Steve and Mike that have a similar passion to hockey and also a similar passion to the club. So it's great to work with people like that are so passionate about something that like me. So, like I said, I was privileged to work with Neil, and I'm so happy for him. I think he'll be great. I think he just has to lay off the diet cokes a bit. He's been too much of that, but he'll be great, and I'm sure he'll be a great success for Man City, and I'm sure that Manchester Storm will see him around the rink from time to time too. So it's not like he's completely gone, but no, I can only wish him the best.
Fantastic. Well, Saturday's game is the only game of the weekend for the Belfast Giants against the Dundee Stars at 6:30 p.m. in the Dundee Ice Arena. You'll also be able to tune into it on Stars TV for the coverage. We'll tweet up all the details of that. Until then, thank you for joining us, Mr. Omar Pasha.
Yeah, you're welcome, Paddy.
Thanks again to Pash. No show would be complete without the fan agenda in association with our friends at Belfast Giants TV. Let's have a look at what we have on Twitter. Thomas Brownlee. Goalie situation. Are Murphy and Wiss ready? Are Murphy and Wiss game ready? And if not, can we afford goalies who are not ready to play? Simon.
The second part of that, no, we can't afford goalies who aren't ready to play. Especially if two or three of them are all injured. But I think anybody that knows Stephen Murphy and knows what he's capable of. So, I know there's Jackson Whistle still is working hard to get ready for the season, and whether or not he plays this weekend, it's an Adam Keefe decision. But I don't think anybody will have any qualms if Stephen Murphy steps in there and he's won championships for us before. It's the Challenge Cup games. Hopefully, I think it's great that Steve Thornton, goes to those meetings and tries to get a couple of Challenge Cup games early on to get the legs going before the league games start kicking in. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but it's important that we try and get Jackson fit as well as keeping Stephen Murphy fit.
It happens year on year. David Murph comes in for a little bit of grief from fans who think that he's just not up for it. He is up for it, but it's just getting into the game.
It's probably the one position that takes the most time to lose the rust because, reactions and all that, just all the things that go into being a goaltender. You look at Murph's stats from last season. He played 51 games. He'll probably be looked on to carry the bulk of the games this season, 35, 45 games, while Wiss gets himself ready to go again. And Wiss coming off an even longer layoff because wasn't it, but the last maybe 6 or 8 weeks of the season, Wiss missed as well, plus the whole of the summer as well. But Wiss was away up about 900 over the course of his season. Murphy was over 900, and what did they have? I'm sure that's very, very quickly 12 and 32, 44 games combined wins over the course of a 60 game season. So no mugs, but yes, they have to come in. They'll be fresh, they'll be refreshed and ready to go again. And there's no bigger, well, there is, what do you call her, Regan McCarry, very well done in your exams, by the way. I was going to say there's no bigger fanboy of Murph, but there is. they're right there. They walk amongst us. But he's an elite level goaltender. Let's not kid ourselves that he's coming to the twilight of his career. He's not going to be the Belfast Giants goaltender in 10 years from now. We have to treat Stephen Murphy, Jackson Whistle and Andrew Dixon with great care because these are the kind of names that when they're gone, it's only when they're gone that we'll realise just how good they were. But it's what have you done for me lately? The old Babcock, you're only as good as your last performance and Stephen Murphy has to come out all guns blazing at the weekend and be prepared to. But as Simon has also said, and we've talked earlier in the show about the Challenge Cup and you can afford to maybe just not be firing on all cylinders through those early games. But once the elite league games start, I want those goaltenders to be absolutely ready to stand on their heads every night.
Ryan Donaldson asks, with the trickle-down effect of available players being cut from NHL and AHL training camps still ongoing, and with many teams still playing pre-season games, does our league season start a few weeks too early, David?
Yes. I agree. If you ever get the opportunity, if you ever get the opportunity to grab Robert Fitzpatrick and say to him, Robert, if you could change one thing about the Elite League, what would it be? And I'm sure that one of the things high up his list would be we would start in October because the kind of things that affect crowds in September, people have been away on summer holidays, paying their summer holidays off, kids just going back to schools, all the school uniforms to be paid for, all big bills at the start of September. He would knock the season back a month in a heartbeat. Plus, there's no reason to stretch it out. There's enough time from October to April anyway to play the season. But yeah, if you just want that very succinct answer, yes.
I agree with you. I think that I look at last Saturday and it was a beautiful sunny day here. We had a great day out. We enjoyed the sun. And then I'm switching on Ciz and Johnny on Giants TV, and I'm slagging Ciz off on Twitter, and I'm watching the game.
One each.
And I'm watching the game, and I'm thinking, I'm looking out the window, thinking to myself, it's August. It's August. It's a beautiful day. And, you know, the NHL doesn't start for a couple of months. The AHL doesn't start for a couple of months. Why on earth are we starting now? There's no real, you know, people are going to say, you know, we have so many games to fit in that sort of time frame. We have, you know, we have a 56, 64, whatever it is, game season, and you have to spread it out over us. Therefore, we need to start at the start of September. Change that. You know,
I would say to that, how come the NHL can squeeze 82 games in from October to April?
Play on midweek. They play every day.
And your point being?
Well, it's the NHL. I guess they can afford to, but then is it a case of, yeah, you know, we're a Saturday Sunday league.
Yeah, we're paying 30 games less, but
yeah, that's true.
It's just a convenient excuse. There's plenty of teams here. You'll see through the course of the season, don't play two games every weekend. If we're going to be a Friday Saturday Sunday league, make it happen. The odd midweek game needs to fit in, but there's no excuse that we couldn't still do that league from get rid of the ludicrous Challenge Cup. Then
yes,
screw that. Yeah, and just play a league and playoffs.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, the one thing I would basically jump in with, guys, I do think that we start too early. I mean, with regards to bringing guys in on the 9th of August, I think it was, you know, training camp more or less started then. But when you look at, you know, going and starting the season in the first week of September, look at this weekend. There's two games, two Challenge Cup games. Everybody, apart from that, that's us and Dundee and then Edinburgh and Brayhead, I think it is. That's it. That's all there is on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're basically looking at, okay, you've got the CHL, which has started, and they're starting in the middle of bloody August. Like, I just think it's absolutely ludicrous. But when you go down the likes of, if it was starting even the last, even the middle of September, I think you could live with it. But starting in the middle of August and even the Belfast Giants, we couldn't get the guys all in until 4 days before. So basically last Tuesday was the last time we got everybody in. And obviously John Kurtz has joined the lineup now as well. So I think it's a real difficult one. But
on that point, Ciz, and coming back to Rand Donaldson's point, is the fact that because we start so early, are we missing out on better quality players who are going to drop out of these AHL camps? All due respect to the players that we have, you know, we do have top level players, but are we missing out? Because you look at somebody like Jeff Suez, the first time he came over, didn't come in till later on in the season. You know, because these guys are trying to get their place in AHL, NHL, Coast League. But are we missed because we start so early, because we have to be ready? And we're going to hear, sorry, we've heard from Omar Pasha earlier, and he said he's, you know, he's three imports down, still waiting to get these guys in because it's so early. Are we missing out on top level talent because we start too early?
Yeah, I think the answer is absolutely yes. But again, you know, I mean, like I said, Davey's got his football and stuff like that. I was ready for the hockey to start this year in August, but I don't think I would have complained if it had been starting 3 weeks later. I really don't. But with regards to picking up guys who just can't get jobs in the AHL or in the NHL, and if you left it for another couple of weeks, and if you managed to pick up, I don't know, a Jaromir Jagr before you headed off to Calgary, you know, that would have been absolutely ideal. But it is what it is, and you know, I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. If we have a conversation again next week or the following week, you know, the guys at the IHL will do what's best for their pockets. So,
no doubt about that. Right, let's move on. Thanks, everybody, for your input. Some couple of great questions there. Keep your discussion points coming on our Twitter at AVFTV with the hashtag TFA. Any other business, gentlemen?
Yeah, I would just like to throw in there, I was speaking to Laura Small yesterday, and I never watch the news. And I mean, never, ever watch the news. It just depresses the life out of me. I don't read papers very often. But I was staying with my mum on Monday night, and she turned the news on. And when you're with your mum, you sort of sit in the same room, and you're looking at your phone, and then you catch a car rolling down a street, being pushed by water. You're sitting going, what's that all about? And it was about Houston. And immediately, I mean, this has been happening for 3 or 4 days, apparently, and I knew nothing about it. So I text Laura just to see if everything was okay with Jim and Mitzi Gillespie. And she told me that they were basically marooned in their own home at that stage, and that was on Monday night. So it's got the stage now where Jim didn't want to leave, and they had to come in yesterday and take them out in a boat. So they're safe. They're staying with their daughter about 40 or 50 miles away. But what's happening over in Texas and Houston at the minute is it's unbelievable, and we're just glad that everything's okay. Jim and Mitzi and family are safe and well, and hopefully, you know, it's going to be back to normal very, very soon.
Absolutely. I think it's a terrible thing that's happening over there. And like you say, I thought the same thing when I heard about it, about the Gillespies and the likes. On that, says with regards to the OSC, there's been a few appointments at that level.
Yes. You know, we thought the committee of the OSC had a chat, and we thought it would be the decent thing to do and the right thing to do with regards to honorary membership. And without a second thought, the first honorary member and the number one member for life will be Jim Gillespie. You know, what he's done for our organization over the years, and you know, we'll be forever thankful for him. An absolute gentleman, and obviously AVFTB, yourself, Davey, and Neil were behind getting him put into the Hockey Hall of Fame in the UK, which is absolutely thoroughly deserved. But, you know, the likes of Jim, and we obviously honoured all the retired numbers from the likes of Shane Johnson, Graham Walton, Colin Ward. I had the conversation with Todd Kelman and told him that we'd like to honour him as a lifetime member of the OSC. And he says, I don't have to take a photograph today. And I said, yes, you do. So his badge and his membership card are on his way to the ice rink or ice arena Wales, and we'll be getting a photograph of Todd very shortly. And Paxton as well. We contacted Paxton. Brilliant. And there's one on his way to him in North America. And he said, I'm absolutely honored, and you're still thinking about me. And we all know what the big man's an absolute gentleman as well. So I think it was the right thing to do. We've got a number of, and obviously Adam Keith. I mean, Keeper's worked really hard with us over the summer, coming up with some great ideas for things for us to do but throughout this season, and helping the members of the OSC reconnect with the playing side of things. Because I think they've got away from it over the last number of years. Some, you know, unless it's the same people that stand at McCool's or the entrance to McCool's for, you know, every single home match, and all the players come up and get the same photographs with the same people. And some people can't stay behind for whether they've got to go and get a train or a bus or whatever it may be. So we're going to try and part of the reason that the OSC has been formed is to help get together the fans and the players at different events throughout the year, and hopefully bring it together and be more of a unit again instead of that gap in between them.
Yes, as we said in the last show, I think it's a great initiative. And I look at places like the Manchester Storm and their OSC. I know the guys there, Paul Tracy, Jess Patton, the likes of that, do a lot of hard work trying to reconnect the fans. And I hope that the Giants and you guys in the OSC can do just as good a job, because it's a great initiative to have, and fair play to you. Davey, any other business?
Sorry, Paddy, it was announced tonight. The first thing that we've done, we collected the membership monies in, and the first thing that we've done as an OSC is to sponsor the captain. So this season, the OSC sponsored player will be Blair Riley.
Fantastic, and that's exactly what it's all about, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Mr. McGimsey?
Nothing from me this week, mate.
Nothing from you this week. Well, on that note, thanks to John Kurtz, Adam Keefe, and Omar Pasha for joining us. Big thanks to you guys for your interaction on Twitter. And remember, you can get us on @AVFTB on Twitter, soundcloud.com/AVFTB, and on Facebook as well. Just search for A View from the Bridge. Only one game for the Giants this weekend, the Challenge Cup action on Saturday in Dundee at 6:30 p.m. Keep an eye on the social media streams for info on the coverage. Thanks as always to you, gentlemen, Mr. McGimsey and Mr. Kitchen.
Cheers, cheers.
Cheers, guys.
And wherever you are, hockey is back. Wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy it. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.